All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it's a pleasure to bring in my next guest, the longtime San Francisco Giants beat reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. In his first year in retirement, Henry Schulman. Henry, I have to tell you, the press box just isn't the same without you these days.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that. I think it's probably a little quieter, you can probably get more work done without me there.
Well, the nice thing for me is there's leftover chocolate in the press box nowadays because you're not
hogging all of it. Yeah, very, very funny. It's a good thing they don't have ice cream or didn't have ice cream there. Or I would have had to lose 100 pounds instead of the 25 or so that I've lost since I've been off the beat.
Well, it's certainly a better lifestyle, I'm sure, off the beat, staying up late. Yeah, I have little doubt about that. Now, before we get into Giants baseball and talking about the start to the season, I did want to tell you that I was scrolling through social media earlier this week, and I got a notification. It's been 3 years since the NBC Sports Bay Area broadcast honed in on me sitting next to you in the press box at Angel Stadium down in Los Angeles in Anaheim, and that was the day that Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko first called me homeroom on TV. And I have to appreciate the fact that you were able to keep that going, even though my hairline is now receding and I'm finding gray hair. So I don't think that homeroom is such an apt nickname these days.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about your receding hairline, Skippy. you're talking to a guy here who pays $20 to get a haircut that lasts about 90 seconds. So I think you'll be okay, homeroom.
I appreciate that, Henry. Well, let's get into the start to the season for the Giants. Obviously, things going well out of the gates. They played really well at Oracle Park, especially during that first homestand, 5-1. But one of the lessons you first taught me on this beat was don't judge a team until they've played at least 40 games. And I'm wondering where that came from. Is that something that you came up with and why you hold to that?
Oh, no, I've never had an original thought like that. I mean, that's actually what I was taught by teams, by general managers. And, when I first started as a sports writer, I was just like a typical fan. And, I would see the team get off to a 3-7 start, and I'd start asking the GMs that I covered and the managers I covered, what they were going to do. Were they going to toss all the players and bring everybody up from the minors? And that's one of the things I learned from Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian and even, guys before that you have to really assess a quarter of a season before you can make any broad generalizations. And, people were impatient even before the Twitter age, but now in the age of social media, the Red Sox went 0-3 to start the season, and you could actually hear the combustion from 3,000 miles away. And look what happened. And same with the A's. The A's got off to an awful start, and then they ripped off this amazing winning streak. That sort of brings to mind Scott Atterberg and the Moneyball season. And it doesn't mean you can't make a change here or there. Look at the Giants so far. Mauricio Dubon was an everyday player when the season started, and he's not now because he got off to a bad start, and, Slater earned the time. So it doesn't mean you can't do that. But, before you could – it works the opposite, too. The Giants are 12-7, when we're taping this. That's 19 games. That's half of the 40. But they really have not had a difficult schedule other than the three games that they played in San Diego. And you look at May, and they're going to have seven games in a nine-game span with the Dodgers. And you're going to learn a lot more there. And you have injuries to these older players. And still, in mid-May and June and July, the team's not going to look like it does now because you're going to start seeing the integration of more players like you've already seen with the two relievers, Duvall and Santos. So people need to just sort of chill out. And if they want to go on social media and scream for people's heads like they're doing for Aaron Boone in New York, as if they're going to be a 100-loss team, that's fine. But, in the back of your mind, remember, teams aren't going to make drastic changes this early.
Absolutely. And I am curious a little bit with the 40-game barometer being a good way to judge a team. Has there ever been a 20, 30-game start that really had you fooled, where you can think back to a season and the Giants got off to a very slow start and all of a sudden they were right in the mix? And I think that maybe the 2010 season jumps out, 2016 for me, as I was looking through the records from that season the other day. About 20 games in, they were 500 and they finished the first half with the best record. Are there seasons that stand out to you where, you know, you were just fooled by the first 20 to 30 games or so?
Well, I mean, the one that more recently that comes to mind isn't really the Giants. It's the Nationals from 2 years ago. I mean, Davey Martinez was probably about 43 minutes away from being fired as the manager of that team. And, I mean, that's the best example I can think of recently, not necessarily the Giants. And sort of going the other way, you mentioned the 26 team looked like it could win 100 games and you sort of snuck into the playoffs at the end. I mean, I think people don't necessarily always really understand what a grind 162 game season is. And so many things are going to be different. And I think the fans are starting to get the fact that, you know, the opening day roster is rather meaningless because you're going to use 10 starting pitchers and you're going to use 15 relievers. And I mean, look, what was the infield, you know, the other night in a game that they ended up winning? I think they had Darren Ruff was at first, Dubon was at second, or Dubon was at short for a while. Estella was at second. Flores was at third. And, you know, a month from now, it could end up that Jason Vossler is one of that quartet. And in 3 months, it could be that, Will Wilson is part of that quartet. And, you know, and Vossler will be running out to center field to get a blooper and will be called off by Elliot Ramos. And you just don't know. The one thing I do think that we might see with this team that I don't think we saw the last couple of years, I honestly think that if this team can stick around close enough, even if they can't catch the Dodgers to win the division, I could see Farhan Zaidi actually adding to this team to try and get back into the playoffs, because this is an organization that sort of prides itself on getting there. And even if it's going to be a one-game play-in against the Padres or whoever, I could see them doing that.
I could absolutely see it, too. And I think that there would be pressure from around the organization with this four-year playoff drought, with attendance dwindling a little bit at the beginning of the season. And obviously that's due in large part to COVID restrictions and the hesitancy of people wanting to come to the ballpark. And that's all understandable. But I do think that if the Giants are in the mix, and let's say that they're still ahead of the San Diego Padres, that Farhan would go and add. And last year he talked about a left-handed bat at the deadline that they didn't add. That's why they got Tommy La Stella in the offseason. So I think you bring up a great point. It's not just adding from inside the organization with Elliot Ramos and Joey Bart, but if they did that, do you need to wait and see what they would do, or do you have an idea already of what you think Farhan would be inclined to add come July if the Giants were in that position?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be better in relief. I love what I saw. We all love what we saw from Doval and Santos. And, you know, they're both fastball slider pitchers, but they're completely different. If you looked at, Santos looks like the slider would be his main pitch, and he could use the fastball off of that and vice versa. And those would be two great guys to have at the end of the bullpen. But if you could get a Will Smith type back, that's really what you're going to need. It's possible they could need a starter as well. They really don't have the kind of depth there that I think that you would like to have if you're competing for a playoff spot. And that actually brings up an interesting potential conundrum. I mean, you know, could be in a position where they're buying, but yet at the other hand, there could be high demand for guys like Gausman and Wood. And so what do you do if you're Farhan? I mean, what if you could get some legitimate prospects back, for a Gausman, say he's having the kind of season that you expect him to have. Now, you know, this organization in 2019 was not afraid to hold on to guys like that. I mean, they theoretically could have gotten something for the guys they held on to rather famously, you know, Bumgarner and Smith. And they thought it was worth going for that playoff push rather than, you know, and getting rid of those guys. And so I think that I'm sorry, last year. So I think that that'll be an interesting thing. I would say pitching, though, more than offense.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that as well. Talking with Henry Schulman here on Talking Baseball, our good friend, a guest through the years of Marty Lurie's program. And Henry, I want to ask you, with Sunday being the 81st game the Giants will have played under Gabe Kapler, or excuse me, Saturday, the 81st game, Sunday, that starts the second half of that 162, really, under Gabe Kapler because of last year's 60-game season. What have you thought of the way that he has acclimated to managing in San Francisco and the active roster management that is required with this, you know, roster that Farhan has built, where you've got pinch hitters coming in and out of the order, where you've got platoons on different parts of the diamond? How would you evaluate the first 81 games or so of Gabe Kapler?
Well, I think he's convinced the fans, maybe in a way that we didn't see under Bochy, you know, that some of these moves can work and that you can play these platoons and use the numbers, because it has worked out well in a lot of the cases, but he's also shown an adaptability. I mean, he's gone from a manager who, you know, would yank a pitcher at a sneeze to a guy who is leaving guys in longer than, you know, I mean, to the other extreme where, you know, you're wondering if they should still be in here. I think he's a guy who does fit San Francisco a bit. You know, it's more of a patient fan base, if you can. I mean, people who see the Giants Twitter may not believe that, but compared to some other places, including Philadelphia, where he was, you know, I thought it was interesting. I mean, the big story in Philadelphia was how bad he managed the bullpen and some of the changes that he made and his in-game decisions. And I'm watching this game, and you got Joe Girardi, who's a guy that everybody loves as a manager. And Joe Girardi, and I forget the exact circumstance, but I think he at one point pitched to Longoria with Dubon on deck. I might have the guy he hit to. And I'm thinking, with first base open, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, I hate to be a backseat driver here, but, you know, that's a ridiculous move. And it ended up, you know, I think it was Longoria. And I think he ended up hitting a long fly ball. But he drilled it, you know, and at this point, I think it was a mistake. And I think that Kapler in that series made all the right moves, whereas Girardi did a couple of things where, he left that one pitcher, Brogdon, is that his name?
Yeah, I mean, Connor Brogdon, big Giants fan growing up.
Brogdon, exactly, from Madera out in the Central Valley. And he, you know, he let that guy in to die out there in a game that was still winnable. And I'm thinking, okay, this is the manager that they wanted instead of Kapler, who they wanted to run out of town. Meanwhile, Kapler did everything he possibly could to win that series. So I think he's adapted. I think that in an area that's not quite as impatient as the East Coast, he's helped convince the fans, look, we can do things this way, and I can play a left-right platoon, and it could work for us because this is the strength and this is the weakness. And, you know, ultimately he's going to have to be more than a 500 manager, which is what he's been. I mean, down to the fact that he was 200 and 200 after 400 games. But he needs the personnel to be able to do that. And he hasn't necessarily had either in Philadelphia or San Francisco.
It's been interesting to watch. I said to our friend Alex Pavlovich in the press box the other night, I haven't seen more than a game in a row where Gabe Kapler has been outmanaged this season. I think that of the 20 or so
exactly
games the Giants have played, he's probably been the better manager in 16 or 17 of those games, just with the strategical moves that he's made. And so a lot of decisions that have been fun to watch. So, Henry, thank you so much for joining us today. Hope to do it again this season, and I really appreciate your time.
Oh, you bet. It was fun.
All right, that's Henry Schulman, former San Francisco Chronicle Giants beat reporter. More coming up next here on Talkin' Baseball on KBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.